You're listening to Sister Speak. I'm Jerry.
I'm Amina.
And I'm Jules.
And I'm really excited. And I had to text my sisters earlier today. I said, you will never guess who we are going to talk to at 4:30 today. And they said, who? And I said, the one and the only Lily Ledbetter. Welcome to Sister Speak.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I am really excited talking to you. First of all, I have to get your take on last night's election. I mean, debate.
The debate, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought the president, I was so proud of him. He did an excellent job, and I was so happy with his response. And one thing that I really liked was the fact that he did not let the governor make those misstatements and lies, if you will, and get by with them. He called him out on it, and I was so happy about that.
Now, for people who don't know, can you give us a brief description of your story?
I will. I worked for 19 years for a tire manufacturer in Gadsden, Alabama, and found out after 19 years that I was being paid 40% less than my white male counterparts simply by somebody giving me an anonymous tip, because I worked for a major corporation that said if we discussed our pay, I would not have a job. So I had no way to find out. And then when I got that tip, I filed a charge with the Equal Employment, ended up in the Supreme Court 9 years, and 9 years after that first initial charge, I was given my final verdict, which the Supreme Court changed the law. They ruled against the Ledbetter v. Goodyear case, and when they did, they changed the law for not only me, it was about every working woman across this nation. And that was not right. Justice Ginsburg challenged Congress to take up the task and change it back. I lobbied in Washington off and on for 18 months, and we got the bill passed in 18 months, and it was the first law that President Obama signed into law, which is the same law that it was before, except it carries my name and an awesome responsibility, I think, for me. But what the law does, it allows a person, if they learn that they're being discriminated against them, and they are still getting a check, they have 180 days from the time they find out to file their charge in any state in this country. And this is so critical because that gives a person some right.
You know, for young women who may not know or may not understand, because I've been in the workforce for a long time, and, you know, I was part, one of those women who, you know, if you did the same or similar job to a man, got paid considerably less than men. You also had to deal with sexual harassment, which, you know, there were no rules, there were no laws, there were, you know, people just, it was kind of a feeding frenzy in the workplace for some women.
Right.
So for you to be able, for you to stand up and take on that charge, that was significant.
It was, and it was a long fight. It took me, like I said, 9 years to get my verdict, but the federal jury gave me a $3.8 million verdict.
Well,
and found in my favor. But what was so devastating, all those years I was working and volunteering for overtime, that shortchanged my overtime pay. And also, it shortchanged my retirement check, my contributory retirement check, my 401k, and today, my Social Security check as well. And I will be a second-class citizen now for the rest of my pay and working life. And there is nothing else I can do about it. Mine is gone. And my goal in life today is try to get the message out there so that this will not happen to other young women. Because when you talk about a woman, you're also talking about a family. You know, we're wives, we're sisters, we're nieces, we're aunts. We're a part of a family, and it reaches into the community as well. It's also an economic stimulus package because women who have a family and they're working, they will turn that money around in the community, spending it on their children and their families. Better education, better housing, better transportation, better medical care, and better food. But the main thing is that we are treated fairly.
And you are so right, Ms. Ledbetter. And I mean, because so many women head up, they're heads of households these days.
Right.
And so
there are so many young women. They talk to me in airports and they talk about they're working two jobs through the week and one day on the weekend and they have children. They can't go to parent-teacher conferences. They can't prepare good meals. And they're slipping. Their family is slipping away, and they still can't pay all of their bills. The women's pay in this country today is still 77 cents to each dollar the men make. And that's if you're a white woman. If you're African-American, it's 64. And if you're Latino, it's even less. A woman stands to lose $431,000 in her lifetime. That would pay for a house, or that would pay for two college educations.
Right, right. Mrs. Ledbetter, this is Amina. I wanted to ask you, how did you feel watching the debate last night when Governor Romney talked about his binder full of women that he tried to select for his cabinet?
His binder full of women didn't excite me very much, because if I had been in his place, I would have talked about I had recruited women. I would have had resumes. I would have talked about the women themselves. He put it into a context that it sounded like he just had an empty folder, maybe.
Well,
he didn't mention a resume. He didn't mention interviewing anybody or any of that. I don't think Mitt Romney is interested in having women. And two, when he made a statement later in the evening, he said, well, when he got through bringing all those jobs, well, these employers probably would even, well, they would even want to hire some women.
Yeah, I mean, and his major point in, you know, doing all this for women, it was so they could go home and make a good meal. Wow. You know, I mean,
I heard that jumped out at me when he said, and that one woman that he had, well, she had told him she had to leave early because he said she had to go home and cook.
Exactly.
Dinner. He emphasized that. It just jumped out.
Well,
she had a child, and you know, like, well, there are so many women in this country that they're single, and or they do have children, but they don't bring those situations to work. They make other responsible arrangements to take care of those.
But then in the next breath, didn't he mention something about the solution is we need two-parent homes and we need more marriage amongst America, and that's going to be the solution to all of our problems?
He's the most confusing person to listen to, and I cannot understand how any woman in this country or any male that is married or associated with a female could vote for him, because what he said and about how he's going to balance the budget and do away with all the taxes, that's not even mathematically possible.
Well, he doesn't know arithmetic, that's for sure.
Well,
President Clinton drove that point home.
I think he keeps proving that. But one of our listeners sent a text and wanted to know what we thought about the Undecided panel on MSNBC, where the women didn't seem to be concerned at all about wages, which I find incredible.
It was incredible to me, because here I thought he was talking to women. I mean, these women, after they watched the debate and President Obama drove the point home that he didn't know how, you know, he felt about the Lilly Ledbetter Act, when they asked him that. And, he seems so totally unconcerned with women's issues.
He was against it.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, he never answers anything. But then you have those women sitting there saying, oh, well, I still don't know. I have to hear more.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the younger women said she thought she would vote for him because he was going to bring jobs and maybe she'd get one. She'd better go out there and get one of these jobs that the president is getting and bringing on board and look for one of those, because she's not going to get one of his jobs, not Mitt Romney, because he is for the men only. And that's very, and Paul Ryan, he voted against the Ledbetter bill when it was in the House, and I did not see it this. And I saw that interview last night, but those women disturbed me the way they were talking. I cannot understand. They're not. And that lady said, "Well, he could run Massachusetts, but here's what I tell the young college people." And I was up in Ohio last weekend talking about voting, and I'll tell you what I tell them is to research that person. Don't accept what they tell you. Research it. How did he leave Massachusetts? He's not even caring that his own state this year in the president election, and the state of Massachusetts would not reelect him for governor. They didn't want him. They wanted to get rid of him. And he's talking about getting rid of more school teachers. We can't afford that. We need to keep our teaching and our programs going to educate the young people across this nation. I can't understand what these people are basing their decisions on.
Well, check
his record.
I think people are going down party lines, and I think that, you know, there are people who just, you know, Mitt Romney is their guy. That's who, regardless of what he says. We even had a woman call up today and talk to one of our talk show hosts, Mary, and she was talking about she was undecided. She was still undecided, but she thought she might go with Romney, but she really couldn't explain his position on women and women's wages and women in the workforce and all of that. But she was under, you know, she thought that's who she would go with, but she didn't have a clear reason. And you know, I guess it's okay if that's who you want and that's who you want to vote for. But like Ms. Ledbetter is saying, do your research.
Right. Do your research. I learned that. See, the 07 and 08 election, I never dreamed that my life would be decided which way I would go with by the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court in 07 changed the direction of my life. I will never be the same person. I will never have the same life again. Not that I'd want it back, but it would have been nice if I could have gotten my money when I got to the Supreme Court that I was rightfully entitled to. But that Supreme Court changed the direction of my life, and I never again will vote for a person that I don't know their record. I will go online. I will check them out if I can get to that state, or I know somebody in it where they have, if they were governor or a senator or a House of Representatives or even the commissioner or the mayor in the town. I will ask what kind of job, what did they do for the people, what was the best thing they did, what was the worst thing they did, and look at that record. And Mitt Romney left state of Massachusetts 47th out of 50 states in this country when he left.
And
they had the highest unemployment.
I have one final question for you. How does it feel to have an act named after you that will be in history forever?
That's right.
The first one that this
Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan get selected and repeals it, it will stay in the history books, even if it's not, if it were to get repealed. But I tell you, with the outcry across this country when it occurred, the ruling, and ever since, I don't think the people will allow it. But it's an awesome responsibility. I told the president last year when I saw him up in D.C., I said, you really put an awesome responsibility on my shoulders, because I feel that it's my job now to make sure that what happened to me and my family will not happen to other American families. This is so devastating, and we suffered, and we did without when it was totally unnecessary. And I don't want any other family in this country. And when he signed that bill, he talked about that last night. He talked about his mother being a young mother with two children, and he talked about his grandmother getting bypassed and training those men. He understands. He knows what it's
like. Yes, he does.
He does. And
he and Michelle both.
Yeah, and you can tell he understands. And I don't see how anybody who would sit and listen to he and Mitt Romney could not see. I mean, their hearts almost show through. It shows the people that they are. I mean,
Mitt Romney and his wife both are so arrogant.
And they're so
fake. They're so condescending, just the way they treat. And I was so upset last night. The one thing that really got me bothered was the condescending manner that Mitt Romney treated the
president,
moderator, the female moderator. How disrespectful he was to the president of the United States.
Well, yeah, his arrogance certainly shows through. You can definitely tell that he doesn't think that rules apply to him.
Well, we appreciate it.
Well put. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have put it. You put it like I think. The rules do not apply to him.
Well, we appreciate it. It was an honor talking to you. Thank you for joining us on Sister Speak.
Hey, it's my honor. Thank you, ladies. And you girls, keep up the good work.
Thank you, Ms. Ledbetter, and we're proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye. 447 on 1230 The Buzz. You're listening to Sister Speak. We'll be right back after this on 1230.